Mother did not know her father. She did not want to. On his dying bed, he reached out to her. He called for her, and she refused to see him. And I think that has plagued my mother's mind for all her life, that she did not take the opportunity to meet him. It also had the impact on the men that she dated over the years, or the gentleman, my father, who she married, because there was no real relationship. My mother never kept real relationships. It's better said that she never wanted to give everything in her relationships. And I think because she was hurt. She was hurt by her father not taking care of her. And she was also hurt by the men in her life. You know, her marriage was not any of any significance in terms of there was no love. At one time when I wanted to go out and find, I wanted to find, get more information from her to elicit how she felt about the marriage. I blatantly asked her, were you in love? Did you love daddy? She said, what is love? That was her answer. My mother was never in love all her life. She never felt love all her life. But she knew what love was because she loved us. And she loved us in her own small way. She loved us in her own special way. If we're being disciplined, to her, that was love. If she's providing food for us, that was love. Shelter, clothing, making sure we went to school, that was love. That was how my mother expressed her love for us. She never came out and said, I love you, or she never wanted to be hugged. In the last years, she opened up for a hug. However, she never held you tightly. And I would always prompt her. I said, no, put your hands around me. It's okay. Put your hands around me and squeeze me. And she would for a very short moment, and she would let go. The understanding of the mindset that she had. She never held on long enough to get hurt. It was a very short hug, short squeeze for a second, and then she would let go. It also told me that if she held on too much, her heart will be broken once more. She was one of those people who was very calm. She was an observer. She did not try to elicit or to say too much. However, whenever she opened her mouth, her words took effect. They were profound. They were truthful. They were worthy, and they stuck to you. Anyone that met her, people who lived around us, people who she worked with, even when she would go up to the shop to buy her lottery, she made an impact on them. They knew who she was. Just the no-nonsense type of air. When she walked into the room, you knew she was there. That's how powerful she was. And then she had the husky voice. And that is why she was distinct. That is why she was different. Because whenever she opened her mouth, you knew she was in the room. But she never thought she affected anyone more than the other person. She was her own. She lived her own life. And we go back in time and we think about when we were growing up. Every Wednesday and every Saturday, her hair was being done. Her nails were being done. It did not matter if we had food or not. Her hair and her nails were being done. I remember she's going to the races. I've never been to the races but once in my life. And guess what? It was not a horse race. It was a dog race. But as time went by, I understood that she did not live a life of wealth, but she lived a good life. And she lived that good life because she lived it through us, her three children. My brother was the one who gave her her citizenship. I was the one who made her travel. And my sister was the one who ensured that we took care of her at the end of the day. It was an interesting evening. We had just returned from Sarasota, Florida, and for a weekend at Sarasota, Florida, and everything was just, you know, happiness. We were at ease. At our usual 8 p.m., when we were going to bed, we started to have a discussion about things that may have happened in the day, what's going to be happening tomorrow, just general current news. And all of a sudden she stopped and she said, "I'm traveling." And I said, "You're traveling to where? Jamaica?" And she responded and said, "No, it's not time yet, but soon." Ooh. Goosebumps came up on my arms. And immediately I knew what that meant. I said, "Okay, thank you very much for letting me know." Spoke a little bit as if I'm not too surprised or in shock. And we said our good nights and I went to bed and she went to bed. The next morning I woke up and I walked out of the house and immediately I called my siblings and I said, "Mama has given her notification that she's moving on and we needed to be prepared." And I broke down crying because something was up. But I also had to be strong. Did not show too much emotions because I didn't want her to be sad. I didn't want her to know how sad I was. I started to cry inwardly for the rest of the time. A few weeks after, she got up to use the bathroom in early morning and she fell. She did not cry out. She did not say anything. She was there forcing herself to get up, trying her best to get up. And I suddenly came up on her efforts and asked, "What happened?" She fell. A week after, she said, you know, I'm not feeling too well. My back is paining me. I said, okay, let's go to the doctor. When we went to the doctor, we found out that she had a fracture in the lower part of her back. And it was nothing major. She did not break her hips or anything like that, which we were very thankful for. And just to show the strength of mother. We took a lot of x-rays. Oh my goodness, I don't know what they did. They x-rayed her up, down, turn around, and it was like the house was being looked at. And the doctor said, everything is good. And you will be good to go. Just some healing, good care for your back, etc. Down the road, they suggested that we take the Prolia injection to straighten her bones. I was not keen on giving her this shot because of the reaction that you can get from it. But then again, I said, no, she's getting older. She's going to need some strength. She's going to be able to strengthen her bones so she's be able to still have a good life. And then it changed. Once she was given the shot, she immediately developed congestive heart failure. And I remember when she was in the hospital the second time, the doctor took me out of the room and he said, the emergency doctor took me out of the room and he said, did anyone tell you that your mother had water around her heart? And I said, no. No idea. 2 weeks after, I received a letter from the hospital that the doctor who examined her for the fracture 2 months ago was laid off. Right away, I knew this was a malpractice lawsuit coming down the road. But my family and I decided, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to sue the hospital. Because the most important thing right now was the care of mother. Eventually, I brought her home in hospice care. And, you know, this was during the end of the pandemic. I was still working from home. And I began my 16 hours, 20 hours a day job, taking care of mother and working at my job. It was the greatest time of my life. And how fulfilling it was to take care of her. She was easy. She didn't make a fuss. She didn't want anything over the top but a little bit of porridge in the morning. Tea, very hot. Waking up the stomach, she believed. Turning on the TV so she can listen to the gospel channel. Pensively watching, observing what I was doing. Or if people were coming to look for her. Funny, she didn't want to speak to anybody. And I understood right away that she was moving away from us. She didn't want anybody to be bothered about her. And she did not want to be bothered. She was moving from this life to another life. Because I heard her speaking to someone. Sometimes letting them know that she's ready. And I took the liberty to ask her one day, who are you speaking to? Is this mother, your mother you're speaking to? And she said, yes. I said, what is she telling you? She said, everything is going to be all right. And I said, okay. That took away most of the worry in her life because She was still worried about us, even though we were adults. She was worried about me. And she literally told me, I'm worried about you. Because I was the only one out of the three of us who does not have a child nor a husband. Anyone to take care of me. And I had to reassure her. I said, I'm going to be all right because you're going to take care of me. And I feel her presence every day that she's doing it. Not only her, but my grandmother, my father. They're all taking care of me. They're seeing me going on with my life, moving on, waiting for me down the road. And I told her, it's okay. You have done everything for us, and we are grateful. Do not worry. It's all right. And as the time went by, days passed by, the months passed by, she became more relaxed, graceful, waiting upon the Lord.